Hello.
Hello, Kaylee. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. All right, your volume sounds good. Everything sounds good. And you
Okay.
got through. That's perfect. I love it. I'm very excited for that because we've had issues before. So you're
Oh.
awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
is there any visual or is it just audio?
Just audio.
Okay.
I have a hard enough problem just doing audio, so
Okay.
I'm not throwing visual in there. Okay, I'm put you on mute. I'll mute your mic. I'm gonna finish my pre-prep and we'll go live in about 4 minutes, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Hollis Chapin Show, the podcast that brings you the most inspiring and thought-provoking conversations each and every week. I'm your host, Hollis Chapin, and I am thrilled to have you join us on this exhilarating journey. On this show, we delve into the minds of visionaries, change makers, and trailblazers from all walks of life, from authors, entrepreneurs to athletes, artists, activists, and even astronauts. We leave no stone unturned in our quest to inspire and empower our listeners. Our guests are not just your average run-of-the-mill celebrities. They're individuals who have overcome the odds, shattered barriers, and achieved phenomenal success. They share their secrets, successes, and even their failures so you can learn from their journeys and apply their wisdom to your own life. Whether we're diving into personal development, authors, new novels, entrepreneurship, mental health, social justice, or the latest scientific breakthroughs, our discussions are always thought-provoking, challenging conventional wisdom, and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. But it's not just the guests that make this show special, it's you, the listeners. Your engagement, questions, and comments fuel every episode. We live for the ha moments, the goosebumps, and the inspiring breakthroughs that happen when we come together as a community. So grab your headphones, get ready for a mind-expanding experience, because on the Hollis Chapman Show, we believe that everyone has a story worth telling and a dream worth pursuing. Our mission is to inspire you to take that first step towards your own greatness. Mark your calendar, set your alarm, because every Tuesday and Friday a new episode drops, ready to empower, educate, and entertain you. Join us on this magnificent adventure, and together, let's unlock our limitless potential. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show.
Hello and welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show. I am Hollis. Happy Tuesday to you. Wonderful, wonderful guest calling in today. She's very special. You know, with this inflationary times right now that we're all experiencing, money's tight, rent, mortgages is tight. Everything's about money is really tight. Our special guest here today, she's written her latest book. She's a financial advisor, author, inspiring journey towards financial empowerment, mainly towards women. You know, how women grew up in our country with the ideas that men bring home the bacon. She's going to talk about that, you know. So that's, you know, how get that mindset where women can be just as financial powerful as men and so on. You know, let me say a little bit more about our special guests. Her book, listed as finalist in the 20th Annual Best Book Award sponsored by American Book Fest. In the business and financial and personal finance category. That's wonderful. Let's welcome to the show our special guest, Kaylee Bravere.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. You know, this times we need your expertise. We need your knowledge to help us through some tough times. You know, I know I'm talking as a man, but I know you're focused on women. And it goes way back deep in our country about men bringing home the money and women doing this and that. But you're going to talk about that. You're going to spell that myth. So before we get started, just kind of introduce yourself. Tell us more about yourself and your latest new book.
Yeah, thank you again so much for having me. So yeah, my name is Kaylee. I recently wrote the book, Make Money Your Thing. And it really is about inspiring women to just feel more confident and ready to take action with their finances, because it has been a male-dominated area for a long time, finances and money, and that's changed, and we need to kind of catch up with the times and really feel like, hey, I belong here and I can do things to make money. You're right, it's not just men bringing home the bacon, mm-hmm. It's women too. Like, that's the reality, and so women have to really, you know, sit in that and feel comfortable in their financial lives, instead of saying things like, I'm not good with math, I'm not good at numbers, money just isn't my thing. That's why I wrote this book. It's like, make money your thing. You can do that, and it doesn't take, you know, a mathematics degree or some sort of, you know, undergrad in finances or master's in finances or anything like that. Like, that is not a requirement at all. And I would say you don't actually have to be an expert at any point in the journey, but it's really just about stepping into that and thinking that, okay, I can still do things for my money. I can take action. I have to get rid of some of the fears that I have around money. And I think women tend to, you know, when it comes to fear around money, tend to just kind of like freeze or almost like be paralyzed by that fear, rather than I see men more so ready to kind of jump in, take action. And so there's nothing really different between men and women, I don't think, when it comes to their knowledge about money. It's just that women seem to be a little bit more risk adverse and not willing to kind of take the steps and take the action. So that is why I wrote this book. That is why I'm hoping to achieve. But by all means, men can read the book too. I've had great feedback from men too. But again, I wrote it being a single mother myself and kind of using some of the stories on my own journey as well through the book, and being raised by a single mom where money in my childhood really showed up as a source of like stress and struggle. Yeah. And so I share that in the book as well, which is, it's tough to kind of talk about and go back there. Anyone probably that has been through that and deal with kind of like, you know, that lack and scarcity and just making ends meet, probably can, you know, appreciate that and gets that. But so I share that as well in the book, and just kind of the things that people can do exactly as they are right now. You don't need to have an abundance of finances in your bank either to do these things.
Perfect. Kaylee, was there a moment when you said, okay, I got to write this down. I got to start writing this book, because, you know, like you said, you're a single mom. you brought up by a single mom, and I was brought up by a single mom is also, I'm the oldest of four, so yeah. Money in our family was never talked about. I've learned how to do money and credit at a later age. I'm so mad at myself, but like you said, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter when you start. Just start. No. So was there a moment when you said, okay, I got to write this book. I got to get the word out. I got to show strength. I got to show other women that it can be done. Was there a moment?
Yeah, like it was around when COVID hit because we were kind of forced to go inside. Before that, I had just started, well, not just started, for a few years, I had been doing seminars for just women. But that was like, I had just started my business as a financial advisor completely on my own in an industry that, again, is very male dominated, has a high failure rate. I was a single mom and it was like, I have to succeed. Like there was no option of failing. I was like, I need to make the bills. I need to pay rent. So I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to be the statistic. And I pushed through. And what really worked for me was like leaning into why I was doing this. And it went back to seeing what my mom went through growing up and how stressful money was and how that stress just weighed on her and sort of impacted all other areas of our lives because it was sort of always there and in the back of her mind and, you know, lurking there where it's like, I didn't want to see that for her. Like I wanted her to be more present and be able to be, you know, happier and more in enjoyment. So knowing that, I started my business focused on helping women and supporting women because I didn't want to see any more women go through that. And I decided to start doing seminars for just women at my office. And I reached out to like local businesses that were nearby thinking, you know, what's going to draw people in? Probably proximity is important. And I had the first session. It was like investing 101. And women came. Like the boardroom was filled. And then I would do one session every month on just a different money topic or investment topic and kept doing it. And then the room got fuller and fuller where it was like standing room only. And then COVID hit and I was like, oh darn, I can't do that anymore. And that's what I've been doing. And it's had an impact. And then I thought about it and I'm like, well, how can I reach an even bigger audience? Like I'm stuck in my home. I can't do these in-person sessions, but I could write something to reach a bigger audience. And, you know, I could reach people, not just in the proximity, but other people as well. And at the time I had my daughter and she was around 5 years old. And I thought of it as like, what would I want my daughter to know? Like if this is sort of my legacy and like what I'd want to leave her with all the money knowledge that I've now accumulated over the years. And so that kind of went into the book too, was just like, this is what I'd like to hand over to my daughter when she's an adult and say, you know, this is it, like just breathe this and this is what you need to know. And so I created that knowing that I wanted to reach a larger female audience because it was working, the in-person events, and women were really interested. So I knew there was like this hunger for more information and more education and knowledge. And so that is what really kind of inspired me, or that was that moment during COVID that I wrote the book.
Beautiful. You know, let's go back to your first presentation, your first on stage. What gave you the strength? You know, what gave you the strength to stand up on stage and sit there and you know, fake it till you make it? I mean, you had the knowledge, but I know a lot of authors write books and they're just petrified on going on stage. What gave you the strength to walk on stage and sit there? And because, again, now you walk on stage, you're the expert. Now they're going to listen to you. They're going to sit there and say, okay. They're going to, you know, they're going to sit there and critique you and review you. What gave you the strength to go up there and say, yes, I can do this?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. I think you're right. Cause I was so focused on just getting, you know, people in the room and bums in the chairs. Right. I'm like, I just need to have at least a decent amount so it doesn't look weird. And all the guys at the office were like giving me flack already, being like, oh, you're a women only event and no men allowed, and like teasing me. And I'm like, man, if this doesn't work, that's embarrassing. And I'm like, I got a bunch of lunch. I even ordered like the sandwiches and the salad. And I'm like, that's going to be a lot of wasted food. So I was only focused on the numbers. And then you're right. And then it was like, people actually showed up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I actually have to give the presentation too. And I think it was just so much of like that thrill of knowing, hey, this is actually working and women are interested. And going through kind of the thought process of the idea of presenting and how it's like some people's biggest fear, how people are like more afraid of that than anything, getting up in front of a room and presenting. And I was like, okay. So I always use that as like, if this is like people's biggest fear and no one's comfortable in doing it, then if I feel uncomfortable, or if it feels weird or I'm scared, that makes sense. Like, I was just normalizing it. I'm like, it's not easy to go up in front of a room. No one likes it. Okay, good. So if I'm not feeling, you know, if I'm not feeling good about it, that's why. And so I just sort of like step into that and I go, okay, who cares then? Because in my head, I'm like, I'm the one up here doing it. Everyone else who was avoiding it and doesn't want to do it isn't doing it. So if you can kind of just say that I'm doing it, I'm taking the steps, you're like steps ahead of other people and you should give yourself credit for that. And yeah, not expect perfection, but just be like, hey, no one likes this. Now move on. Like, yeah, that's how I feel. I'm feeling fear, but let's move through it.
You know, another great talking point. This means a lot to, you know, this proves a lot to a lot of people is financial literacy for kids. You know, that is a big, like I said, again, me growing up in that single family household, we never talked about money. We never talked about credit. We never talked about putting money away, none of that stuff. So that's so important to get that in schools. So important for little kids to sit there and understand the importance. I mean, we're buying these kids these smartphones that cost more than most of us have. Why can't we talk about the money it takes to do that smartphone and do these games? You know what I mean? So talk about that, the importance of financial literacy for kids.
Oh, I love it. It's so important and it's something I'm so passionate about. I wrote a kid's book called Money Wise Mabel's Bursting Bank. It's about a little girl who fills up her piggy bank and she's like, you know, what will I do? And kind of the first thought process is just, you know, splurging and spending on candy and junk and all that. Very reminiscent of my daughter around that age. and the idea of instead, what if you can save up for something even bigger, like those bigger goals, kind of getting kids ready of like that delayed gratification and how we can kind of save up for our future and financial freedom and financial independence. And so it's about a little girl that gets to open her own bank account and think about, you know, bigger picture and what she can do with her finances. And it's so cool and so empowering that we can do this with kids and they can have these really big goals. Like poverty and you know, not having a lot of money, it's not like a sort of like now you're stuck in this like realm and that's it. Like that's your story set. Like anyone can change that. And I want kids to really feel like they are not just a sort of like a result of their circumstances, that they can go on to do big things. Like how much I would have loved having a book like that as a kid when I was, you know, growing up with my mom not having much money, but how empowering it could have been if someone was like, well, you can save up money and you can do your own.
Hello, Kaylee, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. My phone cut out.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay, so we missed a little bit, but that's okay. But like you said, though, missing, you know, just teaching the little kids to learn how to do it, learn how to invest the money. Well, put the money aside, you know, and put it in the bank and go from there. So that's a beautiful, important thing. Now, on a more serious note, in your book, you discuss overcoming shame and guilt related to money. So that's one thing that women had to get over with, overcoming shame and guilt. And me, as a man, when you come up with have a little money, that's a little bit of shame and guilt there too, because the man's supposed to know, the man's supposed to be the provider, the man's supposed to be the one with the money and money knowledge. So how do we overcome that shame and guilt related to money?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's like an ongoing process. Yeah. Because money and our beliefs around money, they start really early and they can be set in that early experiences with money. And so again, with mine, it was like money was a source of stress and struggle and we never had enough. And I was hearing all the time from my mom, like, no, we can't afford that. We don't have enough. And then that morphed into, unfortunately, my own enoughness, where it was like, I am not enough because we don't have as much as other people. And so that's what I took on very early on. And so fast forward to growing up and I wanted to help and support and like serve others when it came to finances. But what kept coming up for me is this like shame of like, why would people want to listen to this woman who, you know, didn't have any money growing up? And it was like this thing I had to hide about myself, like the reality of my childhood, you know, growing up in subsidized housing and having moments where we weren't able, like we weren't know if we were able to like afford groceries and things like that. So to think like fast forward and now I'm, you know, a financial advisor and giving people advice on finances and writing a book about money, there is moments that come up where it feels like I don't belong here. I'm not allowed to be writing the book and things like that. So that's going to happen for everyone. And I think it's a reality, whatever your circumstances and experiences are, but it's like actually having to then kind of do some of the inner work and work through it. And I talk about this in the book about, you know, what can we do with some of those money beliefs and almost like ditch some of that money baggage. And, you know, first step is just really identifying it. So like writing down all these kind of beliefs or thought processes, or if it's the shame or whatever it is you're feeling about money, write it down and then look at it and decide, like, is that true? Like, you know, beyond a doubt, if I were to argue against someone else for the validity of this, you know, could I win a case about this? And I would say for the most part, those beliefs that we have about money, a lot of times aren't true, in fact, like thinking things like, you know, I can never get ahead or I'm always in debt. That's not a fact. That's not truth. That's what you have decided to believe. So you can kind of look at that and say, hey, that's not necessarily true. And now what am I choosing to believe about money and finances? And that's a really good exercise to kind of getting through some of that shame and guilt, because it's a reality and it's going to come up for people and it's going to come up at all different places on your journey with money. But if you can kind of do some of that inner kind of work and digging, it helps a lot. Like it still comes up for me to this day. And I'll do like, my go-to is like on YouTube, I'll do like an abundance meditation or something like that. And it'll get me right back to sort of where I am.
Beautiful. I love it. And before we continue, I want you to tell the listeners, kind of paint a picture to the listeners of your wonderful cover, how it came about. You got a picture of you there. You got your, you know, the color scheme and everything is good. Cause my color scheme is black and red also. And I love that. So kind of paint a picture of your beautiful cover.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So it's like me wearing black. That's my standard wardrobe. But then I was like, I need a pop of color. So it was right around when I had my son and I was like, I have no time to go shopping for this photo shoot because my publisher was like, you should be on the cover. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally like hate pictures of myself. Will not find any selfies on my phone. So I'm like, I am the last person you want on this cover. But I'm like, okay, fine. She thinks this is the best way to go about the cover. Let's do it. So I set up like the photo shoot. And then I say to my mom, like, hey, can you, cause she was doing like Boxing Day shopping. I'm like, if there's anything like pink, can you grab it for me? Cause I think it would be good for this photo shoot. So I entrusted my mom with it, and she got these like bright pink shoes. And so I'm wearing those on the cover. So it's giving it a pop of color, giving it that very like feminine energy, hopefully. And and doing something with very outside of my comfort zone, but I did it, and I did it kind of my way, my version, like did my own hair, did my own makeup. I'm like, I did a money book and I even did the cover on a budget to just really show the whole money side of things.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, you did everything yourself. That's perfect. And get it out there. Yeah. Just, you know, just helping out the new authors out there and stuff like that. Again, you're doing financial stuff. So you're doing things that women don't normally do. Okay. But you're doing things, you get your book out there and stuff like that. Kind of help those new authors about marketing your book, publishing your book, get it out there. Because again, it takes some strong skin, strong, you know, I'm going to keep on doing this. Even with you get, you know, because maybe you had to go through multiple publishers to get them to sit there and publish your book. How do you stay strong to do that, to go through all the ups and downs of getting your book published and editing and all that kind of good stuff?
Oh, yeah. Like, because I think women especially, we're so bad at like being like our own like biggest cheerleader and putting ourselves up there. It's hard. It feels awkward and weird. And then when you write a book, it feels so vulnerable. Like you share stories that are very deep that you've never really told people probably to that level of detail. And so I think that's the biggest problem with authors. Like a lot of us are very introverted by nature. And now, you know, you write the book and that's just the first step you realize where you're like, oh, I actually have to market this. I actually have to get people to pay attention to it. And you're like, oh my goodness. And luckily I've had to push myself out of my, you know, comfort zone as well in my business too. But I heard this, so I won't take credit for it. And I can't remember where the source was that she got it, but she said, which I think is such a great piece of advice, is like, stay in love with your book. So, you know, you can kind of be doing the whole like, the interviews and this and that, and you get a little like run down. But if you kind of go back to like your why you wrote the book, even like read through it again, and you read through it and you're like, wow, this is good. This is good stuff. And that's one way to kind of stay in love with it. Cause then you get to go back and you almost are a little bit recharged again of like bringing it to the audience and more people. Cause you can very much feel down on yourself. Like it's very competitive. There's so many books out there. There's so much out there that it's hard to stand out. There's like social media and people have tons of followers and you're like, well, how am I going to get the attention if, you know, I don't have that level of followers and this and that. But if you can kind of just like stay in love, it's that persistence, right? Like, don't give up. And I like to read stories of authors that didn't and kind of their success stories of like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think he ended up self-publishing and he got his friend who owned like a car wash to sell copies of it there and stuff. I'm like, and now it's huge and it's a, you know, it's always on the top sellers list and stuff years and years and years later. So I'm like, that can happen. Like, there's not this like timeline of like, oh, it has to happen day one. And if I don't, you know, have a top seller the first week it comes out, then I'm, you know, I failed or I didn't do anything. Like, the great thing about with books is like they can stand the test of time and they're still there and you can still continue to, you know, bring that awareness to people. Cause that's the only thing that, you know, it's just people don't know who you are and they don't know about your work. So you have to share that story. And again, it gets a little bit tiring and sometimes you feel like you're saying the same thing, but you're like, it's always a different audience and new people. Yeah. So stay in love with it.
Perfect. Perfect. Before we continue, please tell us, where do we go after the show to learn more about you and to get your wonderful books?
Yeah. So you can go to my website. It's kaleeboisvert.com. So KaleeBoisVert. V as in Victor, ERT.com. I have very complicated spelling. And you can also go to Amazon and look up my books there. So Money Wise, Mabel's Bursting Bank, or Make Money Your Thing. They're both available on Amazon. That's probably the easiest way to find it.
Perfect. Can you explain the concept of designing your dream life when it comes to finances? So we want to start tomorrow. We want to start tonight designing our dream life when it comes to finances. I'm doing some stuff with real estate. I'm doing some stuff with tax liens. So I'm designing my legacy too. So how do I start right now to get that dream life started? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's lots. And in the book, I kind of at the end of each chapter, give a little bit of like homework or ideas for people to kind of take next steps. But I think if you're someone who's struggling with like a mindset issue where you're finding like a lot of like there's a lot of doubt creeping in, maybe you have like you feel like you've always kind of hit a certain level of salary, you can't go beyond that, I would say that's kind of a mindset piece that you can work on. And that would be going through the money mindset, kind of the foundational piece at the beginning of the book, which is that exercise I talked about where it's like, okay, look at what is the belief, is it true, what do you want to believe as well. So if you're kind of like, okay, I feel like I'm good there, I've done some work there, or that's a work in progress, but what next, I would say it would be like the awareness piece. So it's kind of taking an inventory of where you stand. And a lot of people don't do this. Again, maybe because it's like a shaming or kind of stressful experience, or they think it's like, you know, too number intensive. But it's really answering that question. Like when people say, I have no idea where all my money goes. Well, there's tangible evidence for that. So take some time digging through your past month of, you know, statements and looking at, okay, how much do I spend? How much is coming in? You know, what is my net worth right now? So net worth is sort of adding up all the things you own, like your assets essentially, and minusing what you owe, liabilities, getting a picture of like, where do I stand with my finances essentially? Like, what is my inventory? Like, how much is my net worth? And then, these awareness pieces are key, because if you have goals, if you're like, I want to be a multimillionaire, I want to be debt free by this age, I want to, you know, have my home free from a mortgage or whatever by the, you know, this age or whatever those goals are, great. Like, I strongly urge you to have money goals, but the first step, you need to kind of know where you're at right now before you can make those goals, because we always have to know a starting point, right? If you have a destination and you're on your phone and you're using the GPS and you're like, okay, how do I get here? Well, the first piece of input you need is like, well, where are you right now? And then when you know where you're at right now, you can say, okay, this is where I want to get to. And now you can create a plan of action to get there. But it's really hard to create that plan of action when you don't even know where you're at. So I would say, if you're, you know, wanting to take action today, tomorrow, take an inventory, really go through your numbers and see where you're at.
Beautiful. Hey, Kaylee, when you started and you were, you know, with your mom, where she was and where she is now, do you see a brighter situation for women now? Do you think things are getting better now for women? Mm-hmm. I mean, because of the social media stuff, everything's on the internet and stuff like that. So a lot of junk goes out there. But you think things are getting better for women to rise, to go through the glass ceiling, to get better financially?
Yeah, I think it is. And I'm so happy to see that. But it wasn't long ago that it wasn't. Yeah. So it's like, we kind of have to like move with a little bit more rapid speed, because if we go at this pace, it's going to take a very long time for us to really kind of get to that equality. We're always thinking there's like this income disparity and men are still on average earning more than women. Well, let's fix that, because there's no reason that that exists, but we kind of have to speed up the process. We kind of, as women, have to really take charge and feel empowered and, you know, deserving, worthy part of this. But it was funny, like my mom had her birthday recently. It was a big one. It was 65. And she said something about her year of birth. And it was like around like Barbie's birth date or something like that. And also around the time where women were first allowed to open bank accounts on their own. And I was like, I almost like burst. I'm like, what? Like it's only been that long since women have been able to have their own bank accounts. Like that's such a joke. And it seems so like ridiculous now, but it was not too long ago that that was the reality. So yes, you know, we're not there yet at that extreme kind of equal footing and whatnot, but we have to like, I guess, accept that it took that long to get there. And it was only recently that women have made these strides. So, you know, we just have to keep going and hopefully going at a faster pace just so we can get there sooner, because there's no reason why, you know, women on their own shouldn't do as well as men financially, right? Or be able to achieve the same financial goals. There's absolutely no reason, gender or anything included, that anyone should be able to. So we need to get rid of all that stuff that sort of blocks and stands in the way. And unfortunately, that exterior stuff is internalized by us. Like as women, we almost decide, I'm not good at math, because that's what we hear. Like my daughter, she's like 9 years old and she was like, I'm not good at math. And I was I was like, in fact, Ivy, you're really good at math. And I'm just like, so like in awe that she even said those words. But it was like, where did that come from? Didn't come from her mom, who's like Miss like mathematician over here, always like talking about numbers. So I'm like, no, you don't say that in this household. But it's like, we're taking on the beliefs that society has pushed on us, that like, oh, women are good at numbers and math. I think women are great investors. They're better investors than men. Like, I hate to say it, but they are. From my experience, they are better. They tend to be a little bit more like level-headed, long-term focused, patient, less inclined to do more tinkering and things like that with buying and selling and all that. Beautiful. So I think women are fabulous investors. Like, so now start believing it yourself.
Beautiful. That's great. Hey, when was the moment you really felt truly fulfilled about your, you know, you're going in the right direction? When you first opened your business, you got your first paycheck from a client, when things, you know, kind of bring us back to then when you sit there and go, wow, what a day. I got paid for my services today. How cool is that? Was it then? Tell us about that. Bring us back that time.
Yeah, it was probably like near the beginning where, it was me, single mom, and I was starting from scratch and, no one would give me a chance. So it was probably when I finally found a firm that was like, okay, yeah, like you can start your business here. Like I had my business plan. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is, you know, I'm going to really work towards helping women with their finances. This is why. And I was presenting that to different branch managers, because you have to essentially be tied to a firm as a financial advisor. And so, yeah, so I was going around to all the big banks and things like that. And there was these male managers, like they all tended to be males, and they would, you know, there's this one that sat back in his chair after I was done presenting of like, I'm gonna work with women entrepreneurs and single moms and divorced women. And it was good. And I would explain why and you know, how I would reach them. Like it was really good. It was like marketing 101 was put into that business plan. And they sat back, those guy, and he was like, but Kaylee, is there really a market for that? And I was like, what? I was like, this was literally like 9 years ago. Like we're not talking 1952 here. So I was just in awe and shock. And so no one saw the vision. I'm like, what is happening? Like I felt like I was in some sort of like alternate universe. And finally a firm was like, yeah, like absolutely. We want women to be here and grow and build. And we see the power in that. And I was like, oh, okay. So then where I finally found a firm to like work with, I was, you know, then I hit the ground running, because it was like, someone just has to get me, give me a chance first.
Yeah.
And then I can go, I can't just open shop and say I'm a financial advisor, you know, on the side of the street, no one's going to trust me. And that's very sketchy in many ways. So I had to find the firm to work with, and I did. And I'm so happy that I did, but it wasn't easy. It's amazing how it wasn't easy for me with, you know, my experience and the passion and how I was ready to go and whatnot, but no one still. So when I got the chance, I think that was like I just hit the ground running and I didn't stop.
Beautiful. Hey, where is your go-to for you keep on learning? Because you know as well as I do, when you're a business owner, you got to keep on learning, keep on educating yourself, keep on getting that knowledge. When Kaylee's had some downtime, where do you go to kind of stay sharp? You keep on reading, you keep on getting motivated. Where do you go? What do you turn to?
For sure, podcasts like this, right? Yeah. So just like your podcast, love them because they're short and they're just like, you know, a little quick hit of inspiration, and that's fabulous. I do love books, but obviously a book is a bit of a longer endeavor. So just kind of like reading a little bit of a nonfiction book all the time, having that on the go. And just like, I realized too, like sound and music, like I did some Reiki training and it's all about energy. And we, you know, we think of like the senses and how we're taking things in visually and whatnot. But I thought, you know, sound and how we're taking things in auditory is so important too. So I have now, while I'm getting ready, I have like a meditation going about like I am enough or like worthiness or something. And it like pumps me up. I'm like, this feels so good. Or like good music, like some Beyonce or something. I'm like, man, this makes me feel good and like motivated. And so I don't think we need to give more credit to like our auditory and like what's coming in, you know, what we're listening to, what we're hearing and how powerful that is in like shaping our, you know, our whole like mindset and motivation.
Beautiful. Kaylee, before we get to the final comment, please tell us again, where do we go after the show to learn more about you and get your wonderful books?
Yeah, so my website, kayleeboisvert.com, and my books are all available on Amazon. So you can look me up by the author, or Make Money Your Thing is the one book, and Money Wise Mabel's Bursting Bank is the kids book.
Outstanding. In closing, what would you hope readers will take away from your book? You know, as I get your book and read it, what do you want House to feel like when I'm done reading it? What do you want the audience to feel like when they buy your book and get away with it? What do you want them to do and feel?
Yeah, I want them to feel inspired, like ready to do something. Because again, we're paralyzed. We're in fear. So many people are scared of money, of finances, of numbers. So what is the opposite action I want of that? Like, I want people to do something, and we're not going to do those things when we're in fear. So moving past the fear, moving through the fear and feeling inspired.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it. You're awesome. You have a great week. And we'll talk to you real soon. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you everyone for listening in.
All right. Bye-bye. Money, money, money. Make money a thing. Ditch the shame and design your dream life. You know, how perfect is that? Okay, we must, especially in this time now, you know, inflation's high rents, high mortgage, high, yeah, everything. If you go shopping, and we all do, everything is higher. Our gas prices here in Tempe, Arizona is about $4 a gallon. You know, things is just crazy. But what are we going to do to sit there and, you know, can't stop complaining about it? You know, let's take care of ourselves. Let's get, you know, let's get her book, make money, get a thing. Let's get smart about it and grow. You know, she's a single mom. She's in a male-dominated field, and she's doing wonderful because she's changed that mindset. Just like we all should, change our mindset. Be positive. We can do this. You're going to have some ups and downs. When you have your downs, like she said, go get a podcast and listen to it. Get inspired. You know, put your favorite music on. You know, because we're going to have those days when you want to give up, but you can't because those bills still got to get paid. You know, if you have children, we got to teach the children. I'm a firm believer that educating our kids starts at home. Let's do that. Teach them ups and downs. Teach them credit. Teaching savings, teaching investing. You know, savings is good for the everyday thing, but you've got to learn how to invest. Let your money work for you. Don't be in this position to just work for your money all the time because, you know, you come home sick, you don't want to go to work, you're not getting paid. But you invest. Wow. It's working for you 24/7. You got to like that. You got to like that. So make sure you follow up with Kaylee. Get her book, okay? Great things. Single mom, doing great things. We all can do it, all right? play a little music here for you. Hey, we'll be back here on Friday on the Hollis Chapman Show. Make sure you join us. Okay, make sure you join us every week. Get some knowledge. Okay? Because one of these guests is going to sit there and motivate you to do some great things. You have a great week, and as always, I'll see you next time.